They're all crazy, right? We're all crazy. No, we're not. The fact is that this is the most secret of all endeavors in the history of the world. This is why the abductions have happened on a mass scale. This is why we have four people who have been abducted on our film. And there's no collusion. And guess what they say? They took me out of the window. Well, how do you do that? You can't, unless you manipulate space, time, matter, and energy. And that's, of course, what they do. So the kicker is, in Daniel chapter 2, is when Daniel says, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. But wait a minute. Who are they? This is why Genesis 6, Genesis 3:15, it's imperative. It's all there in the guidebook of the supernatural. Graham Hancock will never get it because he doesn't embrace it. He doesn't understand. And you've got to be illuminated by the Spirit of God to really understand what you're reading anyway.
The history of our Earth is so different from what we can imagine.
Enjoy the journey. The Smithsonian, and if they found out about a large skeleton somewhere, was to go get it.
I'm going to assume at least one person is right, because if one person's right, it busts the paradigm.
It all goes back to the fallen cherub. And the problem with the modern-day church, they have a very truncated view of the supernatural.
This backdrop that's just pregnant with all kinds of meaning associated with this Mount Hermon event.
Welcome to Blurry Creatures.
And this guy defects from the kingdom. That's a big deal.
L.A. Marzulli is back.
That's right. We love L.A. You know why? He's the hardest guy to track down. He's like a Squatch himself. He's out there. He's elusive.
He's elusive.
Yeah.
He's busy. He's a godfather and a legend in this space. I mean, he's been on the trail of Nephilim for decades.
That's right.
And we finally tracked him down.
Yeah, we did. And we got him back on the show. And if you're new to Blurry Creatures, right, we're not a theology podcast, and we're not a paranormal podcast. We're hybrid, Luke, right?
Yeah, we are. We're hybrid. That's we're definitely in the gray space. Maybe the blurry space, you might want to say. Like this photo is definitely taken from a flip phone. Yeah, that's a great description. You know, we're just trying to remarry the supernatural back to our faith. And you know, just a couple dummies, as we always say, looking for better answers. Asking questions, looking for better answers. And mm-hmm. You know, LA, last time we had LA on, he pulled a replica of an elongated skull out of a suitcase. You
right
were able
there.
To see it because this is an audio show. If you're new yeah. as well, so but it was. He's always got surprises. He's been ultra gracious to us and to our show, and so we are pumped to have LA back. He's got some new projects he's going to talk to us about.
Yeah, he made a film about aliens and abductions, and it just came out. And you can sponsor him by helping him out, going to his website and watching the movie. And we talked to Karen, who was on his film, and right. she was telling us just kind of a more off the cuff conversation on our podcast about her experiences growing up and all the weird
times she was abducted
and unfortunate things she had to experience. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, some of these stories are so hard to believe. And like I said earlier, you know, if you're new to the show, you know, we've built a case over the last 3 years. Just of all the blurry stuff. Started with Bigfoot, and we worked our way up to this, which LA says on this episode is sort of the cream of the crop when it comes to paranormal stuff, that this is the hybrid breeding program that is going on today that nobody knows about. And he's very adamant about how this is the enemy, this is the end game
yeah.
right now. So, you know, we crack some jokes and have some fun with LA, but, you know, it's a serious one. If you like our show and you listen to this and you love what we do, we've had a lot of great messages lately. You can sponsor the show, blurrycreatures.com/members, become a member of the show, or hit up our merch store, get yourself some blurry merch.
Some blurch.
Yeah.
Or
get the blurch.
If you get full on, you can become a blurrito.
A blurrito. I like that.
That's one of the things in our members group on the Facebook page that people said that you're a Blurry Creatures member, you are a blurrito. And I, you know, I have a, such a love for burritos, so I'm have an affinity to that term.
Me too.
Check out our membership. You get extra episodes, extra content. We've got exclusive members only channels and pages for you where you can discuss and break down all things blurry, interact with other people that are also on the trail, also looking for answers. So we're grateful to all of our members that are already on board. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts and and happy new year. 2022 was quite a year for us, Nate, and we're excited to see what comes this year. We do have BlurryCon coming up. It is sold out. I know people ask, if you're listening now, it's sold out very quickly just in our member space. It never actually was released to the public, so you didn't miss anything.
And speaking of BlurryCon, Luke, we're going to give away 2 tickets to members this month. How are we going to do it, Luke?
That's right. This month, so you got to be a member first and foremost. So if you're not a member, check out how you can do that on our website. There is a, if you go to blurrycreatures.com, you can hit the members page and you can join up. And what we're going to do at the end of the month is we are going to do a random drawing of our entire database of members. So you've got a shot to get two free tickets to our sold out event. And of course, it's going to be Timothy Alberino, Dr. Laura Sanger, Derek Olson, Megalithic Marvels, the legendary Doug Van Dorn, and then our good friend who we'll see this month, a little teaser, Tony Merkel from the Confessionals podcast as well. So you got to be a member to win. So if you're not a member, go check out how you can join. And then at the end of the month, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to our sold out BlurryCon event.
We did do a giveaway over the holidays. Darla C, she won 2 tickets to BlurryCon. So we've had, you know, a couple giveaways already. So people making you happy. So yeah, like Luke said, support the show. We're going to give away a couple tickets again at the end of the month. And also, for those who want to get tickets, we started a members wait list for people who want to go into BlurryCon. I'm sure there'll be some more cancellations before the event. So there's lots of reasons to join up and become a member of the show. But appreciate you guys out there. Let's get LA on this one, though. How about that?
Come on, LA.
You're now entering
the Bone Zone.
Last time we did enter the Bone Zone. He pulled
the skull out. Yeah, I mean, it seems.
Yeah, that's what we mean.
It seems apropos.
All right, man. 2023. Let's go.
Here we go.
We've learned a lot since the last time you've come on. We've heard all the weird stuff, and we've kind of been baptized into the blurryverse, is what we say. I was thinking about how our views of things have changed over time. And since we brought you on, it's been about 2 years, I think. Right, Luke?
Yeah.
We've just learned a lot and we've grown a lot and changed a lot. And your opinions always grow. And I was curious right off the bat, you know, before we talk about your new movie, where you're at with things. Because obviously a lot has gone on in the last few years. And how's your opinions changed since the last time we did an interview? I know it's a little hard to remember exactly what we talked about, but I'm sure you got a lot of updated thoughts, and I know we do. So you can get as weird as you want.
Okay.
it's gotten real weird on our show, so we're ready for it. Welcome back.
Yeah, the Lord told me to step down from the politics, prophecy, and the supernatural report. I woke up one day at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and that's what happens to me pretty much every night. He gets me up when we spend time communing together, and it's been going on for about 2 years every night. And I recite scripture from memory. And, you know, it's sometimes I'm like, I really don't want to do this right now.
Right.
In the morning, Lord, do we really need LA? Get up, you know. So I do it. And then I have a time of worship and the Holy Spirit just overshadows me. And, you know, that's invaluable. And it's been going on for like almost 2 years.
So, that's awesome.
But he told me about 8 months ago now, step down from politics, prophecy, and supernatural. And what I had was being arrested at 4 o'clock in the morning by the guys in the black suits. That was what I woke up to. And I just went, oh my gosh. And the Lord said, step down, take everything off of, we were already off YouTube by this point. We took down everything on politics, prophecy, and supernatural report. And we're in a political climate where you just can't poke the bear. I mean, you just can't. And then very next morning, I woke up and someone sent me a link to a guy up in Washington who just wrote, he was reading Bible verses on his YouTube. It was declared hate speech. he was promptly arrested and charged with a felony.
Wow.
So this is where we find ourselves. And I said this, you know, often, and I've been saying at conferences that we are in a window of time where the Bible would be considered hate speech, prophecy, disinformation, and any discussion of the second coming of Jesus will be conspiracy theory. And that's where we are as a culture. It just amazes me that the churches are so asleep and so despondent that they're clueless. Most of them, not all of them, most of them, many of them. I shouldn't say most, many, because we've been to a lot of great churches that are on fire and that are doing it and that get it. But so I do 5 shows a week. The Monday is Supernatural Confrontations. That was something that happened on a ski trip. I was on, I'll tell you the whole story because it's supernatural. I was just stepped down from Politics, Prophecy, and Supernatural, and we were in this kind of limbo. What are we going to do? You know, how's this look? And, you know, we're trying to just figure out what do we do, you know, to stay on YouTube. Why poke the bear? And isn't it interesting, if I do a sidebar here, a little rabbit trail, isn't it interesting that all this Twitter stuff is coming out now? Of course, the mainstream media doesn't say a word about it.
Right, yeah.
It's coming out, and it's there, and you guys are a bunch of flipping weasels. That's who you are. Well, you know, YouTube will allow the Ayatollah Khomeini to stand up there and yell and scream, death to America. But if I say something at all that they don't like, delete, you know. Yeah. It's double standard. Anyway, we'll see what happens with the YouTube thing. I'm skiing. It's March. It's kind of spring conditions. I could go on a rabbit trail down that, but I won't. Conditions. And I'm up there skiing, and there's nobody there. I mean, it's like I'm doing this couple of runs up in Mammoth, and I would ski down, get right back up on the chair and go up. No lines, hardly anybody there. So most of the time, I'm riding the chair by myself. In fact, 90% of the time, I'm riding the chair by myself. So
that's a perfect day, LA. That's a perfect day.
Yeah,
right. You get the mountain to yourself. Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a Sasquatch story is coming.
And that's who asked me to come on the chair. I turned around and there he is. There's a Squatch in the chair. So I'm riding up on the chair and I'm in the line or I'm getting ready to board. I'll say, hey, mind if I join you? Oh, not at all. So, you know, this guy comes up. He's an older guy. He's got white hair and a white beard with a racing helmet on. He's got a racing ski jacket with all these patches. He goes, how many days did you get skiing this year? I kind of puff out my chest and I go, oh, about 12 days, you know? And he goes, oh, I have 123. Basically means he's skiing every day.
Yeah.
Obviously he's, and he goes, I guess you're still working. I go, yeah, I'll be 72 this year and I'm still working. And in some ways harder than I ever have. But I love what I do. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do? And I go, well, I make documentary films. What on? Well, a lot of them are on the Nephilim. Here's the first flag. 99 of 100 people go, Nephilim? What's the Nephilim? I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
He skips right over that. He doesn't say, what are the Nephilim? He just nods his head and goes, well, have you ever heard of itchy boots? I go, itchy boots? No. Like, scratch, scratch, boots. I go, itchy boots? No. Oh, she's a YouTuber and she drives this motorcycle. She's headed up from South America right now all the way to Alaska. She's got 1.3 million followers. And I go, well, that's completely way out of my league. I said, we have a cult following, blah, blah. Never met this guy, right? I'm on a 4-seat chair. He's on my right-hand side. And there's 2 seats that are empty. Never met this guy before. By this time, you know, I'm starting to, what's going on here? Starting to question, like, you know, what am I looking at? You know, it's like, he skips over Nephilim and he goes to Itchy Boots. And so I go, well, you know, like, we can start to have a cult following here. And we got, at that time, we had like 150,000 subscribers. We're now up to like 170. And he goes, he reaches over and he touches me on my shoulder and he says, you're doing the right thing. And then he touches me again. Keep doing what you're doing. Then he touches me a third time. You're on the right track.
Wow. So
by this time, I've got brain fog. I'm kind of going like, why is this guy why is he saying, you know, who, what? So we get up to the top, the whole chair, this whole thing has been like a 4 or 5 minute deal. And we're getting off the chair. He goes to his left and he calls out over his shoulder. Oh, and by the way, that's the U.S. ski team right there. So I'm like, okay. So I kind of ski by them and go, hey guys, keep up the good work. And I'm going like, what just happened? Who is this guy and what just happened? And I'm like, just kind of like, there's a little ramp before you go down. And I'm just kind of just sitting there like this, just going like, what just happened? So I get, you know, I ski all day and my wife and I are going out for dinner. I tell her the story. And this is when we get the idea of supernatural confrontation, to have people call in with their testimony, record it on Zoom, and then and then do it. And we came up with the name Supernatural Confrontation that night at dinner. That's came up with the name, piggybacked on my mysterious visitor.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. It's like, wait a minute. You've never met me before. You're not qualified to say any of that. Who are you really? Mm-hmm. And then the whole, just the brain fog, and he skips over Nephilim. Honestly, weird. I think it was an angelic encounter. The only one I've ever had like that.
That's awesome.
I think the guy,
White hair, white beard.
White hair, white beard. Oh, I
patched in. He's got all the patches. He's dressed like a cyclist who's skiing. You got all the sponsors on there.
It's just unbelievable. So that's how we started the new show. And it's, we've had, and I'm boasting here, we've had some downloads, upwards of 92,000 downloads.
Wow.
Which we've never seen those numbers before, ever. Another one's at like 78,000. So it's all over the map. But those numbers are and they are supernatural confrontation. So Monday is supernatural confrontation. Today was on the trail of the Nephilim, and I talked about the serpent mound.
Oh yeah.
And then Wednesday, tomorrow is UFO update. And then Thursday is questions with LA. I feel like Bullwinkle the Moose and Mr. Know-It-All. But I do. I crack myself up thinking about that, but that's what it feels like. Yes, Mr. Know-It-All. It's like, oh God. You know, but some people ask, write the questions, and I answer them on, you know, in the show. Friday's another supernatural confrontation. So that's what we're doing. Dance cards filling up for next year's speaking engagements. We'll be in Texas in January, and it will be posted up on the website, L.A. Marzulli. But the new film is visceral, and in some ways it's called The Coming UFO Invasion, Exposing the Dragon's Dark Secrets.
We had Karen on the show.
Right.
That was really, I would say, you know, we've talked to Tim probably five episodes deep about his thoughts on UFOs and aliens. I know you guys are good friends, and got a real crash course. I mean, I think... You know, we hadn't had someone come on and say, I've been taken my whole life. I've been getting abducted my whole life, and really get into that. And I think a lot of people, LA, the hardest part about our show is there's like, people are willing to listen to our podcast, but there's still a huge audience of skeptics, very skeptical, but they're still listening. They don't turn it off, but they're skeptical, right? And I think it's difficult because some of these people, they don't want to talk about these experiences. They don't want to talk about it, but they feel like they, you know, and then they're met with all the skepticism. So, yeah, she said she was on this documentary and a big part of it.
Yeah, her testimony is visceral. It's gut-wrenching. At the end of her testimony, when she's done, and I say, you know, give us your closing thoughts, I just leave the camera. And she's kind of moving and looking around, and you can see the PTSD, the pain in her face. And I just leave it there. And people have, you know, it's not available quite yet. It'll be towards the end of the week, we'll be shipping things out, and it'll be up on our streaming site, streaming.lamarzulli.net, able to instant gratification and download it. But we're also doing all four UFO films in a bundle. So people have written back and they've gone, why did you have the camera just linger on her face? And then Emile's face. I found that very kind of unnerving. And I said, that's exactly why. I want you to be unnerved. I want you to be taken aback by that. I want you to squirm a little bit in your seat. I want you to kind of go, this is really, you know, I don't want to be looking at this. That's what I want. It was deliberate. That's why I did it. And the same thing with Emile. He's taken since childhood. And at the end, he just sits there like this. The reason why I made the film is because this secret is more covert than the Manhattan Project. Because first of all, it's supernatural. Second of all, the guy who's doing it is the dragon. And where, as I say in the beginning of the film, where do you go with this? Who would believe you? Where do you go? And so there's four people. There's no collusion between the four of them. You have Al up in Vancouver, Canada. You have Karen in Texas, Emil in Los Angeles, and Angela in Las Vegas. They've never met each other. There's no collusion. telling the same story, all telling the same.
So it sounds like, yeah, you have four people. They're all in different places, and you're kind of, you know, setting up this interview. And we do that just with one guest from time to time, so we can kind of get a little bit into their personal story. But I like the juxtaposition of all four people on. That's a very good way to tell a story in a documentary, is just like this, you know, cohesive narrative of, right, of all these things. Where's your thoughts now today, LA? Because I know it seems like a lot of people progressed their ideas in this space in the last few years. Like, where'd you come from? Like, what did you used to think was going on? And now where are you at with your thoughts on
what's happening? Hasn't changed. All it's done, around, just solidified what I've written about and talked about for decades. When I talked about alien abduction, you know, 25 years ago, I was laughed at. Oh, that's just demonic delusion. Last run. You know, that kind of thing. Now heck, Fox News, Amy Hornacek has a special on alien abductions on Fox News Network. What does she know about alien abduction? Yeah. Probably not much. Meanwhile, the guys like us who've been in the field forever, in the trenches, you know, we're overlooked and passed by, but I don't care. You know, we're selling stuff. Not that's why we do this. We're getting the word out. I think it's the most important film I've ever made, because I'll circle back and say again that we expose the dragon's dark secrets, and that's what we do. There is a breeding program. It mirrors the Genesis 3:15 account, which is in the Torah. It mirrors that verbatim, word for word, that the seed of the dragon will be at enmity, at war with the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman. So the dragon is going to have offspring. And some of these pastors who are well-meaning and other theologians who are well-meaning, they just, well, it's not really what it says. And they, you know, the angels can't have sex and all this other stuff. And it's like, you don't know.
Yeah.
Quit making stuff up. Quit twisting facts.
Do you think the hybrids that are walking around, you know, that have been taken, I mean, because we've been hearing this has been going on a long time, are they assimilated in culture with us? Do you think they're already walking among us?
That's the title of Dr. David Jacobs' book, Walking Amongst Us. They are walking among us. Yeah. Absolutely. Al Matthews' account in the very first UFO film is riveting, because he has an encounter with this woman who's a hybrid being. There's no doubt about it. And when he meets her, she's wearing these dark wraparound glasses, almost like swimmer's goggles. Very pretty gal, looks normal, talks normal, everything is normal. So Al's a professional mover. She's coming in from Kuwait with a big cargo container, and they go up on the freight elevator to look at her stuff, right? And they're up on the elevator, just two of them. And she leans over and goes, "They're listening, Al." And he goes, "Who's listening?" And she goes, "You know, the Grays. I know you were taken many, many times, and so was I. We were supposed to meet on the ship." And he says this. So he gives the woman his phone number. And in the film, I go, mistake number one. And she calls him at midnight over and over and over again and hounds him. She wants to have sex with this guy, and he doesn't want anything to do with her. So one night she calls him up at 5 o'clock and invites him up for a drink. So he goes up, and she's with a friend, and he goes up and he meets the friend and meets her, and they're sitting on the couch, a beautiful summer day, and they're drinking wine out of these huge goblets, and there's a deer fly on the rim of her glass. And Al says, I'll get a Kleenex and get it for you. She goes, "No, I got it." And she reaches over like this, and the fly is on the rim of the glass. She doesn't grab the fly. The fly sticks to her finger. And then she goes and brings the fly up. And when it's about 6 inches from her mouth, she goes and sucks it in. How do you do that for 6 inches?
Whoa.
How do you do that?
That's weird.
Sounds like a reptile.
She takes off the glasses, and she goes over and mounts Al. Now, at this point in time, he's already got UFO brain fog. But he doesn't know it. He's not in his right mind. He's not. He's being controlled. He's being shut down by this entity. That's why his reaction is, if you're hungry, I'll get you something to eat. Anybody else would have gone, whoa, with the fly in, right? And the glasses come off. The fact that she comes over and sits on his lap, always about sex with these guys, always, 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 always. Mm-hmm. And sits on his lap, and pulls up his shirt and starts to rub his chest and go, "My, you're well preserved." So at this point in the film, I stop him and I go, wait, Al, you've got a girlfriend. Is this normal behavior for you?" And of course, when I show that clip at conferences, people laugh, but they don't realize the severity of what's really going on. And he goes, "No, it's not normal behavior. No one's ever challenged him on this before. No one's ever brought it to his attention that you're not dealing in your right mind. This is not normal behavior from you. And she leans forward to kiss him, and he pushes her away. And when he pushes her away, the eyes shapeshift. And she lets out the most evil laugh you've ever heard in your life. And he gets out. He runs as fast as he possibly can. He gets on. He goes over to Gordy Tong's mutual friend. They Skype me. We talk him off the ledge. We send him books about, you know, cosmic chess match, what's really going on. And 2 weeks later, he accepts the Lord. The abductions have stopped. The abductions have stopped. So you know, it's visceral. And hybrids, to your point, this woman was a hybrid being. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt. There was a guy from Norway, Supernatural Confrontations, several months ago. This is where it blew up to like almost 80,000 views. And he and his wife are at a market in Norway. And it's a beautiful summer day. And it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. The aisles were wide and they're shopping for vegetables. And, you know, we're just kind of hanging out, shopping for vegetables. And he looks up and at the end of the aisle, this woman appears and she's got long blonde, platinum blonde hair. And she's wearing this, he actually sent me a picture of it. She's wearing this very strange kind of like top and a skirt. He's never seen anything like it before, for one. And before he can do anything, she comes at him like this. She slithers down the aisle. He never sees her feet. She's 5 feet away from him. She's looking at him with the most unmitigated hate you could possibly imagine. The wife, his wife, is so terrified, she's hiding behind the vegetable stand. He's got UFO brain fog by this point. He's just staring at this thing going like, what am I looking at? And who wouldn't? Because you're not, right. You're just shopping for vegetables. You're not going in there, I'm going to encounter an alien hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not in the radar. And you've never seen one, so you wouldn't know anyway. And so she gets with about 5 feet from him, and she hikes up her skirt, and she's not wearing any underwear. And he turns his head like this. I mean, that's crazy, right? That's absolute crazy. But we've heard stories like this. And then he remembers the puke first and asks questions later. Gee, I wonder where we heard that from before. So he goes, in the name of Jesus, the Lord, and boom, she's on the other end of the aisle. Before he can even get it out, she's at the very end of the aisle, 30 feet away.
Wow.
He's just standing here still glaring at him with hatred. And then she's gone, just like that.
Reminds me of like that scene in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when they see the ladies in the water and they're just like mesmerized. But yeah, I mean, it seems like people have these encounters in LA. We talk a lot about creatures on our show, right? So we talk a lot about how people feel that way when they encounter all these cryptid creatures. We hear a lot about how when people are getting abducted, their spouse is like in a deep sleep, right? UFO brain fog. Right. They never wake up. Right. And a Bigfoot encounter, they walk into this like
molasses
mist.
Yep.
Yeah. So what is that? What do you think that is? Like, is it some sort of ability that they have to control the thoughts or to manipulate the environment? Because some people say they can even control the weather.
They can control.
I've heard a lot of weird stuff.
They can control space, matter, time, and energy in ways that we don't understand.
Okay.
Space, time, matter, and energy. They can do stuff like that. Both the good guys and the bad guys. You know, because they're all cut from the same cloth. Fallen angels are just fallen angels. So they have the same inherent abilities that the good guys have. That's why we read in the book of Revelation, Michael and his angels fight with the dragon and his angel. The dragon does not prevail, and down they go. But woe to the inhabitants of earth, because the dragon has come down to you. He knows the time is short. And I don't believe we're here to see that. I don't want to see that. Another shell, another seat, but not here.
Hey, Ellie, I got a question for you. On the hybrid program, we know you've been doing all this for 25 years. You talk about Genesis 3. We talk about Genesis 6 a lot in our show. And of course, that initial, you know, you have a whole series on the Nephilim and that. The expression now seems different, right? We don't have giants, per se, running around, right? And it seems to be happening differently. Like, things are happening in ships. I mean, we don't get a lot from the Bible. We don't know, maybe that did happen that way in the Bible, but it seems to not have. Why do you think it's different? Why do you think that the expression now of these hybrids isn't the men of renown? There were giants in those days. Even post-flood, right? We had the Rephaim, and you have Goliath and Og and Goliath's brothers. You have giants. And now, in this space, we're at, it's something completely it's different. It's something very different.
Well, let me give you another story.
Sure.
And we can walk through it. So this woman's at a Walmart.
Everything great happens at Walmart. It's all a good story.
If you want to find out what's going on, go to Walmart at 2 a.m. and hang on to your hat. Dr. David Jacobs says that in his book, Walking Amongst Them. That's when the hybrids show up with the handlers so they can integrate the hybrids into society. And I realize it sounds absolutely crazy. That's how it works. So this woman is shopping. There's 2 or 3 other people in the aisle with her. They're all spaced out in different places. Just an aisle at Walmart. So she looked, you know, she's just, there's 2 other guys, you know, a guy and another woman, whatever it is, 3 or 4 people in the aisle, they're all shopping, right? All of a sudden, down the aisle comes a 12-foot woman. 12 feet tall. Mm. I say, how's she dressed? She's dressed very feminine. Boots, a skirt, top. She looks very feminine.
Big lady.
Yeah, sure, it's not a guy in drag on stilts. No, it's not that. She's very feminine. It's a woman, but she's 12 feet tall. I go, how do you know she's 12 feet tall? Because when the woman passes her in the aisle, she only comes up to the woman's waist, and she's 5'6". This is UFO brain fog all day long, right? The woman walks down the aisle, leaves the aisle, and everybody just goes back and starts shopping again. No one says anything. No one goes, oh my God, did you see that? Nope.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything. And finally, when she's out in her car, after she's checked out, that's when her head gets clear and she goes, why didn't I take a picture? Is she going to come out of the store? And she waits there for 20 minutes. The woman never comes out. That's UFO brain fog on steroids. That's walking amongst us, but that's 12-footer. And then you get to work on the Kandahar giant, which, you know, was 2001, 2002, different giant than Quayle's giant, different time, very different location. They're there. So then you get, when you go back into the UFO abduction phenomenon, the breeding program in the 90s, the hybrids looked very more alien than human. They looked very weak and sickly. They had long, stringy blonde hair. That's what they looked like. Then the next round, the next generation, were the black-eyed kids. This is all conjecture, you know, because you can't sit down with a fallen angel and go, excuse me, can you tell me the progression of the hybrids?
Yeah.
Going. Right. Oh, thank you. Really appreciate that. You know, obviously that's not going to happen. So it's a bit of conjecture on my part, just based on research. So you go from these stringy hybrid entities to the black-eyed kids. With the black eyes, they're short, they're stocky, they look like kids, but they aren't kids. And everybody who encounters them knows that. Then you move into Al's encounter where they can pass. They can pass all day long. They can pass. So here's another story. This is, again, supernatural confrontation. This is why we do the show. So people can come on. They don't have books. They don't have DVDs. They're not, right. You know, they're not, that's not what they do, but they've encountered something. And our platform gives them a place to come to and, you know, supernatural@lamarzulli.net. If you've got a supernatural story, an encounter or a confrontation, shoot me an email, and our producer, John Adam Hicks, will. We only need one email, not 5, just one. And we'll get to you eventually because the queue is very long as people want to get on this. We only do 2 a week. So this guy is in a pickup truck. They're in construction. He's with a friend of his. They're going to go get something to eat for lunch. They go to pull into a fast food restaurant. Doesn't matter what they are. They're all the same. They go to window 1. They order their food. They pay for it. Now they're waiting in window 2. And the woman, totally normal looking, right? Nothing to see here. Hands him the bag through the window. He takes the bag and he hands it to his friend like this. He's over there on the other side of the car. And, you know, whatever he's got, he's opening up his bag. He reaches over and looks up at the lady to get his bag. But the lady's not there anymore. Half her face is normal. The other half is totally alien. Wow. And they look at each other and she realizes her facade has come down. And he's in a state of shock. She does this. She covers her face and runs away from the window. And he looks at one of her coworkers who does one of these things like that. So this, you know, welcome to our world and what we, this is what.
Yeah.
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 It's like, Not for Sunday morning, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, it takes a while to kind of understand this world, you know? Like, we're releasing today our first Nephilim encounter where a guy, him and his friend in 1995, saw a giant in a field behind their house, you know, a mile into the woods. And it's like a two-hour episode, and he's giving us his encounter. And I will say, L.A., like, it takes a while. It took me listening to years of Bigfoot stories before I could handle something like that. What do you think about some of these modern day giant stories besides, like, you know, hybrids in Walmart or something? Because that seems more alien. But it sounds like some of these like almost like they're like the remnant of the mound builders that live underground or something, and they come out.
Conjecture apart on our part, but yes, there are tunnel systems. That Kandahar giant in Afghanistan came out of a cave, brandishing a very long spear. We call it the Nephilim lance. It moved with great speed and agility. It killed one of the people, and this is when I was approached by a guy from a deep state and threatened, you know, to basically back off the story. And he said, what kind of cell phone is it encrypted? And I go, no. Well, when they come and arrest you, they could find kiddie porn on them. Okay.
Wow.
What kind of car do you drive? I drive a 1991 Mercedes 500 SL. 500, which I've restored. Really a fun car to drive. Picked it up for next to nothing, too.
Right.
Restored it. Just a blast of a car. So it burned in the fire, but I have another one, a 2005, which I picked up for next to nothing. And anyway, they're just up here in the Santa Monica Mountains. You got to have a car like that. It's just, Anyway, I'm way too he goes, well, we can, you know, does it have a computer? I go, yeah. He goes, well, we can fix a computer so you'll have a fiery crash. Just leave that hang there for a while. Okay. He goes, you have any children? I have two children. Well, one of them would go missing and never be found. This is his opening statement to me. And I go, yeah, I get that. You can do all that to me because you have all the cards and I'm just a worm. But you can't touch me unless he allows it. He took a step back. He'd never heard that. And I believe that with my heart, that, you know, we are protected divinely. There are angelic entities that surround us, especially the work that I do. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So I've said that publicly numerous times, because if I ever suicide, you know, it wasn't, you know, I shot myself twice in the back, one of those.
In the back of the head? Yeah. You're like, how's that happen?
Right? I shot myself twice in the back of the head just to make sure.
Yeah, right.
So, so I say that because I spoke about the Kandahar giant at a UFO conference in Utah this year on a Sunday. And on a Monday, all over the internet was a hit piece on L.A. Marzulli saying that, you know, the whole story of the Kandahar giant, how we got here. Well, if it's all fake, why do you guys even care? Why are you running with this, right? Why? It's just like Roswell, case closed. You know, right. Why do you have to come out with a book every 5 years? If it's just a weather balloon, then nobody's going to give a rip.
Yeah. I mean, I was just making that argument recently about Ancient Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Ancient Apocalypse. There's all these hit pieces on this is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's not really an archaeologist. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm in lockstep with Graham, except Graham doesn't have the biblical overview, so he doesn't understand what he's looking at, with all due respect.
Yeah.
The guy's a genius. He is. And I stand on his shoulders. I've been to many of the same places that Graham Hancock's been to. But that's why we do our Trail of a Nephilim series. That's why we do it. And
yeah, I mean, we've been watching that lately, and it's like, dude, he has all the pieces, but the most important one,
the most important.
Like,
he doesn't understand what he's looking at. He doesn't get it, and he never will until he embraces the Genesis narrative, Genesis 3:15, and understand that we're at a cosmic war between these two opposing sides. They're not equal, but that's what's going on. And the vestiges, like he talked about the serpent mound, and, you know, all the goofy archaeologists are now trying to save it. The Shawnee Indians built serpent. We have on our film, Mysterious Mound Builders, Shawnee had nothing to do with this. Chief Wallace of the Shawnee said, no, it was here when we got here. When Squire and Davis came in and they saw it, trees were growing. So if this is so sacred to the First Nation people, why didn't they keep it that way? Because they didn't build it. They don't know who built it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's built on the whole serpent. There's actually a piece that I wrote called, and that was my report today on my, if you want to see it, go to L.A. Marzulli on YouTube, L.A. Marzulli on YouTube. That's today's show on the serpent mound. The serpent is shown with its mouth wide open in the act of swallowing an egg. It's mm-hmm. like this. You know, there it is. There's the there's the serpent with its mouth wide open. That's Genesis 3:15. I mean, there it is screaming at us in the Ohio landscape. Oh, the Shawnee built this. You guys don't even know what you're looking at. The first time I was at the Serpent Mound, I was unimpressed because I had just come back from Peru, where I saw the vestiges of Sacsayhuamán. And I'm looking at this, you know, 100-ton stones fitted together with laser-like precision. Mm-hmm. And then I'm at the Serpent Mound, I'm kind of going like, well, this is kind of a non-smoking cigar. This really sucks.
There's a little bit of a letdown, right? You're like, what is this?
Yeah. And then I started thinking about it, and I realized, one, you can only see it from the air. When you're down walking along it, don't know what you're looking at, which is why they built a tower in modernity, three-story towers. You can go up, and you can kind of get an idea of what you're looking at. No. Mm-hmm. I'll fly the drone 1,000 feet up, and when you fly the drone that high, the whole serpent undulating through the Ohio landscape with its jaws wide open in the act, trying to swallow the egg. The seed, the offspring of the dragon, will be at enmity, at war with the offspring of the woman. He, Messiah, will crush the dragon's head. You will bruise his heel. That sets up the entire biblical narrative. If we don't come to grips with that, if we don't understand it, when we get to Genesis 6, we don't know what we're looking at. The Tower of Babel will scratch our heads. When we get to the flood of Noah, this God of the Old Testament is some sort of maniacal, pernicious, you know, just weird God who just wants to wipe everybody out. No, the Nephilim are on the earth those days. And also afterwards, finally, when the children of, you know, Abraham go into the promised land and the mandate's there to wipe out all these tribes, that's genocidal, unless it's Nephilim. And of course, they are the tribes that are there. And that's what's going on. Fast forward. So the springboard in the film, and I talk about this at the end of the film, the springboard is Genesis 3:15, followed by Genesis 6. Then fast forward to Yeshua's statement, it'll be like the days of Noah when I return. Well, he just assumed 2,000 years ago that everybody knew exactly what he was talking about. And they did. The modern church has no idea for the most part. Genesis 6, days of Noah, what's that? And then you get these guys, with all due respect to them, who are theologians and a lot smarter than I am, who insist that, well, it's really not what it says it is. It's the godly line of Seth having sex with the hoochie mamas of Cain, but that's not the exact. It's just not a
that's exact. That's the teaching seminary these days.
The hoochie mama of Cain is just not it. So I'm being silly here, but the kicker is the Daniel 2. Daniel, seal up the words of his book until the time of the end. Men and women run to and fro with the face of the earth, knowledge will increase. Well, the words of Daniel were sealed up until the time of the end. And now we're in the time of the end because knowledge has increased and men and women run to and fro over the face of the earth. That's never happened until the modern era. Right. So we're here.
That's a good question. I want to ask you, like, so this, you know, if we're in the time of the end, sort of what are some clues? Because every, you know, generation has said, we're in the end.
Yeah, 99 reasons Jesus comes back in 99.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. And also, they've been doing these hybrid experiments for a long time. Some of these hybrids are getting old.
Yes, and
so they've been
not like now.
You know,
not like now. And you asked about this. Yes, but not like now. There's been a concerted effort with the hybrids. I mean, this is why the abductions have happened on a mass scale. This is why we have four people who have been abducted on our film, and there's no collusion. And guess what they say. They took me out of the window, and the window was closed. Well, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. You can't, unless you manipulate space-time, matter, and energy, and that's, of course, what they do. So the kicker is, in Daniel chapter 2, is when Daniel says, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. Who are they? Their seed will mingle with the seed of men. But wait a minute. Who are they? This is why Genesis 6, Genesis 3:15, it's imperative. It's all there in the guidebook of the supernatural. Graham Hancock will never get it because he doesn't embrace it. He doesn't understand. And you've got to be illuminated by the Spirit of God to really understand what you're reading anyway. But there it is. Hmm. So you got the prophecy of, which is applicable to our time, and that's exactly what we see. Hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of these guys, they get into the Anunnaki and the Sumerian version, and they...
Just the Anunnaki are just the fallen angels. Wake up. That's all it is. That's all they are.
Yeah.
It's all they are.
Do you think this is all about building like the Joel Chapter 2 army? This is what they're doing? Are they perfecting the hybrid?
Absolutely, that's what it is. Satan is out. The dragon's out number 2-1. Satan's out number 2-1. He's building an army. Chuck Messler said this in our very first Watchers film, over a decade ago, roughly. I think that's when the first one came out. 2012, Peggy? When was the first Watchers film came out? 2010. So it's years ago now, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about all this, trying to warn what was coming. Well, it's here. You know, 12-foot women in Walmart. Somebody handing you your lunch at Carl's Jr. and their face shape shifts. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I just want a cheeseburger. I didn't ask for this. Mm. You know, who's hungry now? Are you kidding me? I'm terrified. Terrified.
I mean, it sounds like straight out of like They Live, Nate. We talk about this all the time, but you know that 80s film with Roddy Piper where he eats the glasses and you see that there's all these alien hybrid.
Well, that's, I mean,
and they look like us.
They're always telegraphing what they're about to do or what's about to happen. They always do that. Mm. Look, we're in a window of time that's unprecedented. I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we made the film. There's four people. They're all crazy, right? We're all crazy. No, we're not. The fact is that this is the most secret of all endeavors in the history of the world to keep the hybrids down. This really, because who do you go to? The guy was abducted and impregnated, and they came back in the third month of my pregnancy, re-abducted me and took the baby. Both women say the same thing. Yeah. So they go in for the OBGYN, they find the heartbeat, there's the child, you know, you got a baby, congratulations. You know, we'll track this thing, and all of a sudden Karen wakes up and there she goes to the emergency room. No baby, no fetal tissue, no heartbeat, no nothing. Like it was never there. Well, ma'am, are you sure? Yeah, well, you know, go ask my OBGYN. I was pregnant. I saw the heartbeat. Same thing with Angela. Saw the heartbeat. Goes back in, nothing there.
What are your thoughts on all that, LA? Like, because sometimes it seems like as we get into the Kingdom of Darkness is so much vast and stranger, and there's more creatures involved. And we hear everything from reptilian creatures to Palladians to Nordics to Rakes to you know, Wendigos to Bigfoot creatures. I mean, a lot of people, it's like they can slowly open up their paradigm to all these things, but it seems like there's just a whole list of creatures, and it seems like we have endless content of things to talk about on our podcast, because sometimes it seems like all these entities are working together and sometimes it seems like they're not. How do you balance that perspective? Because I do agree with you that they're all loyal to the dragon, but sometimes it seems like there's rogue individuals, there's players that are fighting against each other. I don't know. It just gets more weird and complicated. And how do you balance a lot of those perspectives?
And it is. It's very weird and complicated, which is why a lot of it, what we say is conjecture. Until you actually take out the implant from Emil's leg, it's conjecture. But when you take the implant out, it's no longer conjecture. Here's an implant. It validates the story. He was taken at 5 years old and implanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, there it is. We're the only Christian team that's ever done that. One of the few teams on the planet that's ever done that. And you guys know the story, I'm sure. When we did the pre-op, we found the implant like that. We had x-rays, we had CAT scans. It was letting off a radio frequency. It showed up on the Gauss meter, a stud finder. We knew exactly where it was. We went to Dr. Matriciana. Here's the ultrasound machine. Oh, there's the implant. We'll see in 2 weeks. We take it out. We go there. He can't find it. He's going over this little piece of flesh like this with the wand from the ultrasound, and he can't find the implant. Holy Spirit taps me on the shoulder. You need to take authority over this. I look at Richard. I go, okay, I'm going to pray, guys, and I'm going to do it now. I'm in a room full of unbelievers except for Richard. And my prayer is very simple. Father, if there are forces which are cloaking this device, break their power and do it soon. Less than 2 minutes go by, the implant on the monitor of the ultrasound comes in like this. Hmm. And there it is, like that.
Boom. And those listening to this, if you don't know what he's talking about, it's kind of like in The Matrix when they put that tracker in Neo and then they go into the car and she gets it out of him. You kind of had a similar situation where people get abducted.
It's exactly the same thing. I mean, they shut the implant off. We could not find it. They shut it off. And here's what's sobering. They knew what we were about to do and they didn't want to do it. They knew what we were doing, which is why the implant was closed. And I realized that's major woo-woo to a lot of people out there.
What are they doing with, what are these implants do? What are they trying?
Are they tracking? You think they're tracking people, or what do you think they're doing?
They track people, but what they do is they change your DNA.
They
are the prototype to the mark of the beast, in my opinion. If you have an implant, it's not the mark. It's the prototype to the mark. Not the mark. You don't have the mark. It's a prototype. You're still human. It's okay. You're not a Nephilim. But it will, the one that comes by the AC will change your DNA and you will no longer become human. You will cease to be human as we know it, because it will change your DNA.
We get those links all the time where people are saying like 23andMe and all the swabs from COVID and all these other things. It's all a huge DNA collection.
It's a DNA collection, but it's not the mark of the beast.
Well, yeah, no, I know, but what I'm saying is it might go alongside with some of these abductions where they're trying to collect as much human DNA as they possibly can.
They're looking for a specific gene, and that's why certain people were taken. It's also generational. It'll go from the grandmother to the mother to the children, you know, to the children's children. It'll go right down the line. Spielberg's movie Taken shows all that in his film. And of course, it was supposed to be aired on a major network, and we're not doing that here. So they moved it over to cable. You know, they moved it over to cable. And I remember watching it, just going, "Man, these guys have it wired." He's done his. I mean, it was like, it was absolutely factual in every way imaginable. If you've never seen that series, and at the very end, the hybrid girl—it should be a boy, but it's a girl, right? She can bend and manipulate space, time, matter, and energy. She can stop time and move through it.
Wow. So are the hybrid, what do you think the purpose of the hybrids are? Are they going to kind of lead the humans into the mark of the beast? Are they going to kind of like, everyone's going to line up and we're going to sort of,
I don't know.
Oh, they're all doing it. Well, you know, what do you think? You
remember some of these hybrids have superhuman capabilities.
Like super soldiers.
Soldiers on some level. And they have super abilities. I never want to meet one. The one in Norway slithering down like that and then disappearing. The 12-foot woman, the woman at you know, Carl Jr., wherever she was. I mean, it just goes on and on. We keep getting reports like this. He's building an army. There's no doubt about this. So we have to be close. We have to be close to some major prophetic event. Have to be.
What, Ellie, the new film is, what's it called? And when's it going to be out?
So coming UFO invasion.
Okay.
Exposing the dragon's dark secrets. And that's what we've done. This is, you know, as Karen goes, they told her to shut up, you know, stop talking about it or we'll kill your family. I mean, what does a six-year-old do with that? You know, but there it is. And she tells it. And her sister got, you know, they show her dying in a fiery car crash. I've heard all this for the last 30 years from other people who have been abducted. This is the way the game is played. So you shut up and you play along. Because who's going to believe you anyway? They're going to think you're crazy.
Right.
I mean, I remember this true story. I was going to this one church and I ran into a guy who was an elder at the church, right? I'm an elder.
Deacon, the deacon, baby.
Yeah, hey. So he goes, "What are you working on?" I go, "Oh, I'm working on a film about you know, UFOs and aliens." He takes a step back in the market and looks around like that, like, how do I get away from this guy? And now it's on Fox News. On Fox News, and Tucker Carlson is doing a thing on cattle mutilations. Abby Hornacek is doing on alien abductions, and Commander David Fravor in 2017 was on Tucker Carlson's show. And then Chris Mellon was on afterwards talking about, we've got metal that we've tested from crashed UFOs that, guess what, the isotopic ratio is not found on this earth. And you've got Pentagon leaking saying, we've got UFOs, craft, off-world vehicles in our possession, not made on this earth. And you've got a professor from Stanford University, Professor Nolan, stating that people who are in close proximity of UFOs have all sorts of brain anomalies and wind up with weird cancers and stuff like this. And it just goes on and on. And this is all on Tucker Carlson's show. So it's no longer what L.A. Marzulli, Mr. Tinfoil Hat himself, is wearing. This is now, you know, national, international news. It's there. And UFO sightings are through the roof. So here we go. Mm-hmm.
L.A., I want to ask about that, though. Do you think, from a macro level, do you think this is an awakening, or do you think that there's a controlled narrative as far as is leading us to disclosure? Like, I wonder about that, because, you know, you have the government now admitting, and it's a nothing burger. The hell is congressional hearing on UAPs. We're not calling them UFOs, right? And there's nothing in it. They don't really say anything at all. But it feels like it's yes and. Maybe it is an awakening. At the same time, there's going to be this control of the narrative that, you know, is conditioning people, maybe, or pushing people to a preferred, you know, interpretation of whatever's going on. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it can be one of two things. The powers that be are definitely leeching this information out. It's a controlled narrative. There's no doubt about that. How does someone like Commander David Fravor wind up on Tucker Carlson's show? Doesn't have a book, doesn't have a DVD, is an unknown.
Right.
You know, no one knows him at all. You know, it's not like Khloe Kardashian coming on. Nobody knows who Commander David Fravor is. Now he's a household name. So how does that work? And it's a controlled narrative, and they leech it out, and they do it to see what the reaction of the church is, which is flatline. There is no reaction. Nobody cares. It's unbelievable. Nobody gives a flip, which is just astounding to me. That you would think, I remember when David Fravor was on in 2017, I turned to my wife and I go, Peggy, brace yourself. The phone is going to ring off the hook. Oh my gosh. You know, I don't know how we're going to handle all this, but I guess we will. Next day, totally flatline. No call. I think I had one email from a pastor or something. I mean, so look, I'm doing my job. My hand's on the plow. I've been warning about this, not since 2017. I've been warning on it since the very first book came out in 1999, which was Nephilim, and immersed in it since the 90s, early 90s, 1990.
Well, we're getting to the place where technology, they say, you know, like there's a lot of stuff that Elon Musk is releasing lately, you know, like Neuralink is almost here. And, you know, more and more of this technology fusing with humans. And it seems like we're getting close to the singularity when AI.
Yep.
I mean, we're not talking about decades away. We're talking months.
Months. I mean, we're already here. The Great Reset. I mean, look what goofy Klaus Schwab is doing over there. You know, just read between the lines. They are hell-bent on a one-world government. If you want to know what's going on, watch Hunger Games. That's exactly what they want. You know, you live in your little compound, and, you know, maybe we'll give you some food. But if you don't, play the game, you know, and it's the elites and then everybody else. Let them eat bugs. Am I making this stuff up?
No. No.
Eat bugs.
No, I mean.
You'll have nothing and you'll be happy. You'll own nothing and yet.
Yeah, you live in a pod and eat your bugs. I think about the nihilists from the Big Lebowski. That's what I think about. Like, we believe in nothing, you know, nothing. I'm like,
good for you.
That's them right there. Yeah. I had a question. So you put this film together, 25 years of work. You get these four cohesive stories. What are some things that you think you learned from these four testimonies? Was it stuff that you had already hypothesized and knew? Was it just a reinforcing or a validation?
For me, it was an affirmation. But what's unique about this film, as far as I know, there's never been four abductees all in the same film, all talking their stories, telling you exactly what's happening. There's no collusion between the four of them. And at the very end, I bring all four into the Zoom chat, and they all talk about their experience. It was really intense. So for me, it's just an affirmation of decades and decades and decades of research. We're working on number five now, which is on crop circles. And this, the working title is called Convergence, because what it does is it brings the Amitrail of the Nephilim series and the UFO series together for the first time.
What do you think about some of the other guys in the game trying to push the narrative forward, like the Stephen Greers of the world saying, you know, we're taking people out, like doing their own weird little Burning Man ceremonies, trying to talk to UFOs? I mean, they seem, and even guys like Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 are like, we are uniting the world under one conscious, you know, like this.
Yeah. They have no idea who they're dealing with. And for Stephen Greer to say something like, they're not angels or demons. Stephen, you don't know who they are. They're messengers of deception. they're masters of deception. They lie, they do so habitually.
Yeah.
J. Allen Hynek stated that, Jacques Vallée has stated that. They are powerful, they can shut you down, they can manipulate space, time, matter, and energy. These are not our space brothers. And these guys like DeLong and Greer, in my opinion, and I'm certainly willing to debate them anytime, anywhere. When I'm in a UFO conference, when I ask a crowd of basically new age people, how many of you think it's okay to abduct a five-year-old boy and implant him? Anybody? Please raise your hand. Not a hand goes up. Not a hand. And I go, you have just proved my point. You all know that these are not friendly space brothers. And if they're abducting your five-year-old boy and implanting him, you're not going to be a happy mom and dad.
That's right.
So why are you here? Why are you here? And that's when I begin to talk about, here's another paradigm. These are not extraterrestrials. They're interdimensional entities, which have been around for a very long time. And everything hails back to the breeding program, to the seed war that we read about in Genesis 3:15, which is why a person unlocks that scripture, the rest of the Bible's like dominoes, just opens up with that.
I love it, LA. Thank you so much for coming back on Blurry Creatures.
Yeah, great. Let's see you. And, back sooner, okay?
Yeah. All right, dude. Hey, we'll bother you. Yeah. Hey, do you want to, real quick, do you want to let everybody know where they can see the film, grab the film before you take off here?
If you want the hard copy, it's lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net. We'll have the new film on our streaming site. That's streaming.lamarzulli.net. Streaming.lamarzulli.net. That'll go off probably Friday. That's number 4 on the production. The Christmas store has got all sorts of fantastic deals. Shameless plug. So go to lamarzulli.net and get something for your unbelieving friends, and they will become believers.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, LA, you know, just while we have you on, if you ever, we sold out our first conference in Nashville, and Tim's coming to that
right,
one.
Right.
If you ever want to come to Nashville for part two of
when is that? When are you guys doing it?
We're doing it in February. Thinking about doing another one too, because this one it went like gangbusters, right, Luke? We're all booked up because we're having a hard time trying to figure out how everyone's going to. But we're thinking about doing another one.
I'm all
some
in.
Different guests on the show.
Yeah, and we. I mean,
you're all in.
Yeah, we did. We did 400 tickets in 16 hours. So
yeah, that's like I said, I'm all in. So if it's
right, dude,
February,
let's go. Dude, I just want I want Elie Marzulli to come to my house for Christmas and put an elongated skull in my stocking. That's what I want.
Here you go.
We appreciate you, brother. Yeah. I know you got to go. Thanks so
much
for the time.
Both. Take care. All we'll talk soon.
Yeah. See you, man.
All right. See you, LA.